It's good to see you. Oh, my word. Man, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I want you to understand something. You're part of God's creation. You know, God, Romans 1, 20 tells us that, you know, we really don't have any excuse but to realize when we look at nature to believe that God exists. God truly exists. And there's no excuse for any of mankind. That's what he says. It shows of the attributes and the character of God in creation. When we look at creation, we see God. And so, you know, and I think, well, you know, God has a purpose for you and I as humans in this life. He has a purpose. And I believe that for you to find fulfillment in that, there are three things that you need to encounter, three encounters in your life to truly fulfill God's ultimate purpose for you. And each encounter has power that comes with it when you experience it. One is Jesus. I mean, without Jesus, nothing is working. Nothing's going to happen. You need to have an encounter with Jesus. And in that encounter, when Jesus comes into your heart, he empowers you as a child of God. You're more than a conqueror. You're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. The second one, I believe, that you need an encounter with is Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit who comes to live and abide in you and truly have an encounter with him, to learn how to commune with him and how to follow his voice, how to recognize and follow the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of God in your life. It's the voice of Jesus in your life. And you need to learn how to encounter the Holy Spirit, how to commune with him, how to talk, how to listen to him. So you need that. And there's a third encounter for you and I that brings power to our lives, and that is with each other. There is an encounter that you've got to realize that you're not to be an island to yourself, that I can do this. You know, me and God, we got this all figured out. But in God's plan, he's got it figured out that you work with the body of Christ. We got to get along, okay? We need each other. There is an empowerment that comes when you and I walk in unity. There's an empowerment for one to drive the enemy. I mean, to drive him off, where one can put 1,000, two can put 2,000. There's a synergy in you and I in union, in unity together, that puts the devil to fly. But secondly, when you and I come together and we truly walk in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace, there is an empowerment with that that causes people out in the world to recognize God in us. That they'll know that we belong to God, that we're God's disciples by our love. That love flows as you and I work in unity. Are y'all with me? Those are all important. Now, that's not my sermon tonight, but anyway, I'm going to take you back. We're going to go to Isaiah 40, and I want to pick it up again where we were 2 weeks ago when we're talking about what we see in the Spirit. What do you see in your walk of faith? And this is our text here. We're going to go back to this, Isaiah 40, verse 1. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And I think that's our desire as Christians, that we want to mount up with wings as eagles. I want to run and not be weary. I want to walk and not faint. But so much of the time, we feel faint. We don't feel like we're mounted up with wings of eagles. How do we fly? How do we take flight in God? How do we operate in our faith? James 1:4 says also, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. I mean, there's a place that we're reaching for, where we find a level of maturity and completeness and entirety, lacking nothing in our life, that we can flow in what God has for us, right? I don't want to be walking in lack. I don't want to be walking in lack in any area. I don't want to be ignorant, you know? And so much of the times I feel like I'm so ignorant, I don't know enough to even ask questions, but I don't want to be there. Are y'all with me? I want to be, you know, experiencing God. And one thing that plays into that is my patience and let God work in me, because I can't get there just overnight. And there's a level there with patience that you can't get there anywhere else without patience, a level of maturity and completeness. Now, what I'm asking you today is, what is it that you see in faith today? What is it that you see in faith today? Are you believing and seeing acting on your faith to experience the Word of God working in your life? Are you seeing it? Are you knowing it? And last time I shared with you about, you know, God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And ask or think, that word think there is imagine. He's able to do much more above all that we ask or think or imagine. And we went through that in depth, so you can go back and get the notes online or the message also online. But he's able to do abundantly above all that we could even imagine. And our imagination plays into our walk of faith, believe it or not. What you imagine, and the definition of imagine is forming mental images or concepts of what is not actually present to the senses. So have you built in your mind this image of what comes either from the world or was it comes from God? What is it that you're thinking? What is this, the concepts that you're structuring in your mind, your paradigm of thinking? Do you see things the way the world is dictating to you, or are you seeing things the way that God's Word is dictating to you? So what image have you built in your mind? Look over to Jeremiah 1. I'm going to reiterate a few principles from last time. Jeremiah 1, we looked at this in verse 11. This is where Jeremiah is speaking to, God's speaking to Jeremiah, how he's going to bless him, how he's going to do all these things. And here he approached him and said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou?" What is it that you're seeing? I said, "I see a rod of an almond tree." That was something that God put in his mind, put in his thought patterns, or put in there of himself. And then the Lord said unto him, "Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." Now, the thing that I pulled out of that is that God knows what he's showing Jeremiah. He's just wondering if Jeremiah sees it. God knows what he's showing you by his word, what he's speaking into your life, what he's trying to reveal to you. He knows. The question is, do we actually see it? And he's asking, "Jeremiah, what do you see? What do you see?" And Jeremiah, you know, as Jeremiah would step out on what he saw, God would hasten his word to perform it. My question is, God can't hasten to perform something you can't see. "Lord, I just don't see it." You know, sometimes we've got to give God something to work with in our life, and it's called faith. Just give him a little faith to work with. "Well, God, I just can't see it. You're not giving God something to work with that he would hasten to perform. How do we see it? Well, you feed your imagination or your vision by the Word of God. If you want to increase in the way that you're thinking and think like God, you feed it from God's Word. There in Jeremiah, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture that I've seen people with this tattooed on their arms. I go into pharmacies and I see Jeremiah 29:11 tattooed on their arms, you know, there, and it's a statement of faith. And God said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." See, he knows. You think you know what he's thinking. You think you know what he's thinking toward you. And sometimes we don't know. We're thinking, are y'all with me? We think we know what he's thinking. But he says, "Listen, don't tell me what I'm thinking. I know what I'm thinking toward you." Sometimes we blame God for so much. "God, where'd you go?" Saith the Lord. He said, "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And another translation says, "The thoughts I think to you is to give you a future and a hope. Give you hope in your final outcome." God's not thinking bad thoughts toward you. He's thinking good things. His intent is to give you hope and a future, to bless you. He said, "Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart." You know, we covered last week also, or the week before, about Noah. Let's go over to Genesis, the 6th chapter. You know, when God destroyed the earth by the flood, he did it because their imaginations were filled with evil. Their imaginations were filled with evil. The construct of their minds, everything that they would feed into their mind, was filled with evil thoughts. Look at Genesis 6, verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You know, two things that it's showing there is that they fed their imagination with evil thoughts. They created this domain of evil, things that they were doing. And the second thing that I draw from that is it grieved God. If you're not constructing your imagination toward the things of God and the hope and the peace and the joy and all that God has for you, that's not pleasing to God. If you're letting your mind run on things that are not of God, that doesn't please God. It actually can grieve Him. Let me give you an example of how to build your imagination and faith. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's telling me that God's Word builds the imagination of my faith, and I need to take charge of my faith. That I meditate on the Word of God, I start feeding the Word of God into my psyche, into my heart, into my mind. And it creates a prosperous output for me. Make my way successful. I have a part. He said, you will make your way prosperous. So I've got to take hold of what I feed in so that what comes out is faith. And then when faith, I believe, is displayed, that's when the supernatural shows up. That's what we want, right? When we want the supernatural experience, because we're supernatural beings. I mean, we're spirits created in God's likeness. We're not just of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And so when we display faith, then the supernatural is manifested. So our aim and goal should be to display faith, to operate in faith. Amen. So what we need to do is make sure that we don't fall into the snare that the world did when God destroyed the earth by the flood, and filling our imaginations with evil. Hebrews. Go to Hebrews 3. Oh, this is good. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13, and then chapter 4, verse 1. Now, he's talking to you and I. There's a couple of things in here that he's warning us of a... I highlighted the word lest. Lest. You ever think of the lest? Is lest in your vocabulary? Lest this happens. But the Lord said, take heed, brethren. He's talking to us. He said, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest in any of you be hardened, any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So, two things he's saying individually. Take heed to what you're doing. Take heed to your heart. But you know what? You have a responsibility to exhort me. I have a responsibility to exhort you. I've got to guard my own heart. But at the same time, it's not just about me, is it? It's not just about you. You got to guard your own heart. But see, you and I need to be exhorting one another lest we have these other problems in our lives. We need to be connected. You can't do that unless you're connected. The experience of walking hand in hand with brothers and sisters in this kingdom, how can I exhort you if I don't know you? How can you exhort me if you don't know me? All you see is what I show you on Sunday and Wednesday, right? This is as good as it gets, but what you want to look is on the inside, right? So he said, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we need to be helping each other not to fall into the deceitfulness of sin, recognizing it and encouraging one another. Who do you go to when you need counseling? Who do you go to? The multitude of counselors, there's safety. Who do you go to? The people who know you. There's some that come to me. The size of our church, there's so many people I truly don't know their hearts. But that doesn't mean that you're not being pastored, because we have so many leaders and we're all helping one another. If I have a challenge and I need some counsel, I'm going to go to someone who can speak into my life that knows me, that I've given them leave to speak into my life and jerk the slack out of me if I need it. Right? Let's read on. He said, look at chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you seem to come short of it. Seem to come short of it. Let's be careful, because we don't want to fall short of what God has for us. When it seemed to come short of it, that's mounting up with the wings of turkeys, not the wings of eagles. Right? Come on. Turkeys don't fly very far, nor do they fly that high. Amen. Amen. You know, let me take you a little further. When your heart is changed through the salvation experience, when you have an experience with Jesus and you receive His love, His passion, His sacrifice for you, there are things that accompany salvation. Now, I'm speaking to you. I'm trying to speak into your thought processes, okay? I'm playing with your mind, okay? Look at Hebrews 6, verse 9. Let me read the King James, then the Living Bible. King James says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." Things that accompany salvation. Listen to the Living Bible. "Dear friends, even though I am talking like this, I really don't believe that what I am saying applies to you. I am confident you are producing the good fruit that comes along with your salvation." Wow, so many people don't even realize that they're the temple of the Holy Spirit. They don't even realize they gave their life to Jesus and don't know that the Holy Spirit has come to live and abide inside of us. And you know what? He's connected with us for eternity. And I'm going to chase a rabbit here just a moment. I didn't give the guys the scripture, so I'm not going to go there. But you know what? There's a scripture that says that if the Holy Spirit, the one that abides in you, is the same one that raised Jesus from the dead, abides in you, He shall quicken your mortal body. And we always, and for years, we used that. I thought, as I began to study deeper, but I thought, well, you know, that's speaking about the Holy Spirit just bringing healing to my body because of the provision made by Jesus Christ. Until I read some more of the Greek translation of that, which implied that it referenced that He's one day, I'm going to get a new body. Because of the Holy Spirit inside of me that's connected with me. And I realized that one day, when I leave this life, when I travel from this side and go through the veil of life and death into the veil of true life, to heaven, the Holy Spirit's still connected with me. I don't understand the dynamics of that. I don't understand the nuances of how God's going to do it. I'm just grateful. And I know that by the Holy Spirit that's been comforting me here, that walks with me here, that's on the inside of me here, is going to be connected with me on the other side. And because that Holy Spirit is connected with me, God's going to use Him to give me a new body one day. Am I getting some brain cells going yet? Are you beginning to see that? You know me? You mean one day I can get a body that's full of hair? Ha! Yeah! I'm not even going to go there. The other things that I'm praying for and believing God for. Man, I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit is so good. There are things that accompany salvation. In Galatians 5:22, just make note of it. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, long-suffering. You have the Holy Spirit. When you ask Jesus to come into your life, you have the Holy Spirit takes residence up on the inside of you. And through your spirit, He bursts this fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, this kindness and patience. And people say, well, I just can't love that person. They're ornery as the day is long. Well, you're relying on your flesh, not your new man. Because there are fruit that comes with salvation. You have inside of you. You just don't know it. You have inside of you the capacity to walk in love towards somebody else. To walk in forgiveness towards somebody else. You actually have inside of you the capacity to be patient. Have long suffering. If you rely on the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, to draw from God's strength, there are things that accompany salvation. There is actually fruit that can be born in your life. We ought to realize that. You got to realize that. You know what? You need to be looking and saying, I am not the same person. I am not the same man. I may look the same on the outside, but on the inside, I'm different. On the inside, I'm alive. You've got to get that picture in your mind. It's like Paul, you know, in Romans, the 7th chapter, when he that tongue-tying passage of Scripture there that he says, I don't do the things that I want to do and do the things I don't want to do, and et cetera, you know. He's saying, and you go and read that, he said, when I find that when I sin, it's not really me, it's my flesh. And I got to get a hold of my flesh. He had it in his imagination that I'm more than this. I'm more than the things that drove me in my flesh, the pride, the arrogance, the meanness, or whatever it was he was battling with. He realized in Christ, I'm more than this. I didn't deserve to be called. I was the least of the apostles deserving of this. But I am what I am. He had gotten into his imagination what God said, what Jesus said about him. Are y'all with me? We're talking about walking in faith. Walking in faith. If you can eliminate this condemnation that we feel that comes with your own heart, instead get to where you assure your heart and have confidence, then you can have great recompense of reward. That's what Hebrews says. In Hebrews, in 10 verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. That recompense means compensation. Compensation. That's something that's extra. To walk in faith, and your faith has great compensation of walking in faith, that means it's going to have great results. How many want great results in your faith? Boy, I do. So let's talk a little bit about the Comforter. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, Jesus said, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You see, Jesus is forever is the same forever in my mind that it's forever. That the Holy Spirit, just because I die here, doesn't mean he ain't with me over there. Right? He didn't cut me loose when I gave up this earth suit. He's still going to be with me. But Jesus said, listen, God, I'm asking God to give you another Comforter. And that Comforter is the exact same copy as Jesus, doing the same work. Because John 14, 18, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I mean, Jesus is the one who he coached us and encouraged us and he built us up. And the Holy Spirit is like Jesus. He's going to coach us. He's going to encourage us. He's going to build us up. You know, so much of the time, you know, over the years that, and I've thought it at times, and I've seen people who thought it, that the Holy Ghost is going to jerk the slack out of me every time I do wrong. He's just right there to tell me when I am messing up. And I've come to find out that's not true. What if your friend, every time you made a move, they're just, oh, you low down. Oh, you'd get to where you didn't want to hang out with them. Come on. You sitting there thinking the Holy Ghost is talking about how much of a bum you are, and you wouldn't let nobody else in this room talk to you like that. Right? Okay. Y'all not being honest with me tonight. Come on. You wouldn't let nobody slap you around like that. No, but you see, when you read the Scripture, that's not what his job is. Holy Spirit, I believe, has got a bad rap over the years. He's there to tell us that, you know, he's to warn us. And even when he does share with us some of the things that's going on, he does it in such a way that it's comforting and loving, not beating us down, not accusing us. See, the accuser of the brethren is Satan. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He's called the Comforter, not the Condemner, to teach us, guide us. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I shall send to you in from my Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. He's telling us about Jesus, the good news. But let me show you one other. Look at John 16, verse 7. This is where that the disciples, Jesus was telling the disciples, I'm leaving here. He's trying to tell them, I'm going to die, but I'm going to be raised from the dead, and I'm out of here. And they didn't like that. Can you feel their pain? What are you talking about? You can feed 5,000 from a lunch, some kid's lunch. You walk on water. You heal the lame, the sick, and drive out demons. And you're talking about leaving, and you say that it's our advantage? Now, let's look what he says here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. Expedient means it's to your advantage. He said it's to your advantage, or it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That happened on the day of Pentecost, by the way. Peter, if you go read that account, when Peter started telling the devout Jews, he said, this Jesus, this is the one that you crucified. He said, you think that these guys are all junk, but no, that's what was being prophesied by Joel the prophet. And he said that God gave the Holy Spirit to Jesus, and Jesus has shed this Holy Spirit abroad in our hearts that you see. And so Jesus, I want you to get this picture, though. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go, that the Holy Spirit can come unto you. He's saying, you would be better off with the Holy Spirit here than me walking on the earth. You think, now how in the world? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't come as a man. He comes to live on the inside of us. But how could that be better than Jesus? In John 14, verse 17, the second half of it, because it says, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Wow. You know, Jesus, when he was here in the flesh, people, they came around him and just flogged around him and just came in groves of people and just surrounded him, trying to touch him, trying to get close to him, trying to hear his voice. They would follow him out into the wilderness and with not even a thought for their meals or their lunches or this, hey, this is the Messiah. This is the man that's healing the sick and casting out devils and try to get close to him, try to hear. Sometimes the people trying to get close enough, they had to tear the roof open the house and let a guy down in there, trying to get close. But do you realize, he said, I got something better for you. Holy Spirit's going to walk with you, and he's going to be on the inside of you. No matter what kind of crowd you get in, or no matter how isolated you are out in the desert, Holy Spirit's going to be right there with you and going to be right inside. That's why it's advantageous. Everybody can have the Holy Spirit on the inside, guiding and teaching and comforting, strengthening, showing you and I things to come in our own personal life. Wow, I think we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit, don't you? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So many times, you know, Holy Spirit's always here to encourage us and build us up, not to accuse us. And so much of the time, we're condemning ourselves. We're condemning ourselves. Like I said a while ago, there's, you know, if you're in a relationship, you don't let people talk to you a certain way, but then when they walk off, you think, yeah, maybe I am a bum. Maybe I never will amount to anything. I can remember what I did. Yeah, if anybody knows how bad I am, I know how bad I am. Y'all with me? Sometimes our own heart condemns us. But I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit is talking to you, the report of the Holy Spirit is never going to match the devil's report. As the devil tries to accuse you and condemn you, which he will, he's the one trying to bring guilt on you. He's the one trying to bring condemnation. And he wants you locked into that. He wants you latched into that. And so you can't walk out of it. And so much of the time, religiosity and legalism has tried to tie us into a mindset where the Holy Spirit is condemning us for because we're not walking good enough. We're not doing enough. Are y'all with me? We're not religious enough. We're not legalistic enough. We're making mistakes. We're goofing up. And I've seen Christians over the years, and they believe the Holy Spirit's the one telling them that. No, it's their own heart condemning them. Because that's not the character of the Holy Spirit. That's not his job. So what we do so much of the time is we're embracing condemnation because of our own bad conscience. That's the picture we're letting into our minds. is our thoughts. So I believe the Holy Spirit's ministry is positive to us. I so much of the time thought about myself that I am my own worst enemy. Have any of y'all ever thought that? I think, man, I'm my own worst enemy. Because of the way I'm thinking, because the things that's coming back up. If the devil ain't pouring it into me, I'm thinking about it. Because of false teaching, false things that are around me, that I need to be thinking these things. I need to remember that I'm such a bum. And my conscience is negative about me. But see, the Holy Spirit, what He's doing is telling us, hey, we can do this. We can come out of this. Don't you want to believe Jesus? Don't you want to walk with Jesus? So the Holy Spirit's job is not to show you that you're a sinner, but you're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that soak in. Have you ever realized, and I've shared this before, you know, when we go out and we're witnessing to the lost, I didn't need anybody telling me I was a sinner. I already knew that. Are you with me? You dirty, low-down sinner. Turn or burn. Well, that's exciting. I like that. Tell me something I don't know. Right? What I needed was the Holy Spirit saying, you're not trusting Jesus. He's your answer. You're not trusting Jesus, the one that gave His life for you, the one that loves you more than anything, the one that understands you. He walked in the flesh. He showed us a way to be victorious. Jesus gave His life for us that we might live. Jesus, who's the head of the kingdom, is still thinking about you. When God gave Him the Holy Spirit, He gave it to you. Are you with me? Amen. It's that we're not trusting the Lord. Amen. I got one last page of notes. So, you know, I believe for the believer, you know, when He reproves us, He reproves us for not trusting or believing Jesus. That's what He's doing. And I believe, you know, think about it. Probably the root of every sin that we do is not trusting Jesus. Sin of unbelief, whatever it might be, look at it and look to the root of it. Are we trusting the Lord to help us to overcome that challenge or whatever it is that you're falling prey to, the snare that you're falling into? Are we trusting Jesus? Let me take you over to one more passage of Scripture, 2 Samuel 12. Let's go there. And Nathan has a prophetic word for David. I thought it was kind of funny the way it started out. Maybe it's because I'm thinking in my lingo. When he started out here in verse 7, and Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." That's King James. You know how we do it? You the man, dude. You the man. You the man, man. You the king around here. You the child of God. The apple of God's eye have been, but I got something to tell you about what God wants to say to you. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He said, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. And gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would, moreover, have given unto thee such and such things. I've given all these things to you. Verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with a sword of the children of Ammon. You didn't just kill him, you let the enemy kill him. How insulting and degrading is that? Look at verse 10. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house. Now, look at this. Because thou hast despised me. Thou hast despised me. Hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite of the wife as thy wife. I was looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, it's not so much as the act of sin as it was that he despised God. See, God looks at it one way, we look at it another. When we get in the flesh, we're not seeing it the way God looks at it. You walk in that, I've done all this. I've set you up. I've anointed you king over Israel. I've done all these things to bless you at this point because of your faith and you trusted in me. I gave you Goliath. I gave you the strength to defeat him. All of that, you saw my hand working, trusting, because you knew he defied the armies of the living God. You stood on that truth. And now you despise the hand of the Lord and you let sin get into your life. You do those things to other people. Are you getting this? You know, the fact is, his heart had drifted from God. His heart had drifted from God, and that's what took him away from God. When we look at these scriptures about you and I encouraging one another, that's so that we don't drift from God. I mean, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many of you have felt in your life there was a time you drifted from God? And some of us have reaped of the seeds that we've sown, and we need a crop failure. We drifted from God, and we felt the consequences of it. I'm so grateful that God's a forgiving God. He's a forgiving God. He's made provision because for the sake of the blood of the Lamb, for the sake of His Son, the blood that was shed, that if we go to God and we confess our faults to Him, where I've sinned, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes. Oh, my word. This is the psyche you need to have. This is what you need to be feeding your imaginations with. I mean, if you've goofed up, messed up, and I'm telling you, if you're living and breathing, you've goofed up, messed up. Right? But you can't stay there. You can't live there. You can't build a home and stay there in that mess. That's what a lot of people do. They get goofed up and they make a mistake, or, man, their life's in shambles. And they live in that. They don't ever come out of that because they're looking at that. The flesh has a tendency to default to looking to the world and what the world is saying and all of that in your flesh. But see, we got to feed our imaginations with what God says. Let our imaginations be built by what the Word says about you. And get up, rise up, and be that more than a conqueror. Be that child of God. Have an encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and with the body of Christ. And come up out of that and experience the power of God. Well, I said it was the last scripture, but I'm going to give you one more. It is about the character of God. James 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Man, you can't blame it on God. For God's not tempted with evil, nor does He tempt any of us with evil. He don't play that game. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Are you with me? Don't make that mistake. God is well able. He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. Getting ourselves in line with the right thinking to place ourselves in a position to receive from God. In close with this thought, it's not about God. It's not about God abounding toward us. It's about us receiving what He's doing. He abounded toward us when Jesus went to the cross, paid a price, died for us. God raised Him from the dead. God raised Him from the dead so that we could be raised as well in the likeness of His resurrection, so that we could be empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk today. We need to get in a position to receive by God by getting a hold of the way we think. Amen? Yeah. All right, let's stand together. I hope you're getting something out of this. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way with us tonight, with each of us here tonight. We've come with purpose, and that's to hear your voice, Lord. We've brought in our sacrifice of praise and worshiping you, because, Lord, we love you, and we desire you in our lives. Father, you're worthy of so much more. Father, you're worthy of so much more. You're magnificent. Your beauty of your heart is almost overwhelming. Lord, your love for us, help us to understand. Jesus, we love you. I am so grateful to you. I am so grateful to you, Jesus, for for reaching out your hands to take my hands and lead me and guide me. As you're doing that with all of us, reaching out to us to be our shepherd, our great shepherd, leading us in this life, loving us, caring for us, nurturing us as your bride. You're my master, my savior, my king, my love and my friend. And Lord, we need you. And Holy Spirit, it's our desire to hear your voice. You're inside. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We belong to God. Let us learn how to hear your voice and walk with you and flow with you as you would walk with us and operate on the inside of us. Holy Spirit, have your way with our hearts. I pray for those tonight, Father, who have struggled, Lord, of thoughts of the past, that they will forgive themselves for one. To forgive themselves as you have forgiven them. That they can see themselves forgiven and cleansed and whole, healed, mended, without even any scar tissue. That they can envision that in their hearts, Lord. That's how much you love them. Lord, let us envision in our hearts hearing your voice and walking with you and being your son, your daughter in the kingdom today. Let us see in our hearts love and patience, long-suffering and forgiveness as you have forgiven us. Let us see that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Let us have purpose and design to walk that way. I pray, Father, for faith and hope to arise in our hearts, for a courage like never before, to rise in our hearts, Father, to serve you, and that we can truly experience the joy of this faith that we walk in. So, Lord, I pray that you have your way with us. And, Father, I pray for the needs in this room, from the smallest to the greatest. There's not a need too small nor too great that you haven't provided for through the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I just pray that you would meet those needs tonight, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual need, that you would meet those needs tonight, Father, according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So Lord, I pray that you bless us as we go. Let our days be prosperous and productive in you, and whatever we lay our hand to prosper. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And amen. I love you guys. Love you. Go and be blessed. Love on somebody this week. If you need prayer, we're here to pray with you.